Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed. What's up, everybody?
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Listen Up Podcast. This is your boy, Sam. Today, I am joined by the fabulous Miss Candace Cooper from the Locked On ACC Network.
Yes. Thanks, Sam. I'm so excited to have you. Like, you're pretty famous in our ACC world. I just want you to know that. Like, when we talk about referencing FSU, I'm just going to say we talk about Twitter Spaces, and now it starts with that. We know how the fans are because of Twitter Spaces. So you're really that guy.
Really? See, that's kind of surprising to me that I actually have that type of a following because, you know, I tell everybody I'm just a concerned fan. I'm just a concerned fan. I'm, you know, no more.
Well,
you took less.
You took your concern, and now it's a full blown like therapy session. You've taken like, Twitter Spaces owes you a check. I'm just gonna say that you need some stock in Twitter Spaces,
dude. You know what's crazy about it? I think I did an interview with the Wall Street Journal, so they pulled the stats of the Twitter Space that day or whatever, and it actually reached 90,000 listens. So 90,000 people listening to it. Yeah. And they changed the Twitter Space because it used to be that you couldn't record unless you was a verified member of the media or something.
Yeah.
But now everybody can record now.
See? Look at you. Changing the game. I'm trying to tell you. Twitter, if you're listening. Twitter Sports, if you're listening. We need Sam. Get him some stock in that bad boy because that goes. It was all. And that's a genuine part of it and why it's so special. Because who knew? You didn't know that. You just literally happened to wake up one day and say, let's talk FSU. Let's talk Fire Norvell.
I had no clue. Literally woke up. So
I love that.
What's funny about the whole thing, and I keep telling people this and people don't believe me, was I had actually got the information that Travis Hunter was not coming to Florida State. I had already got the information. So I had verified it through some other FSU people that I know we pretty tight that reports on FSU stuff. And I asked them about it. And they was kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of shaky, you know, but nobody was actually saying anything. Nobody was saying anything. So I was like, well, I seem to be the only person that wanted to talk about this. I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to do a Twitter space as he gets ready to commit to this other school. Now, I didn't know what school he was going to. I can say that. I can say that. But as soon as I fired it up and he made his commitment, it was like at the same exact time. And next thing I knew, it just 6 hours later.
People were firing off, okay? It's like, it wasn't for the fact that Travis Hunter wanted to go somewhere else. It's where he went to. And it was the fact that it was connected to Dion. It just was like everybody and their mama was having the time. So I love that for you, though. I love
it. And it's funny because, so people consider me the negative person in the fan base. I'm the negative guy.
Okay.
But all I really be trying to do is just give the energy back that they gave to the last coach. I'm trying to keep the energy the same. So I consider myself being consistent.
There we go. FSU is definitely going through some things, I will say. And I know we're going to get into it, but God almighty, like y'all have to be very much in love with that place. But maybe, I talk about this all the time on my show, Locked On ACC. Like, we're used to the Miamis and the Florida States being really good, and maybe Clemson starting to see now that once you have a program that's built us up, your expectations are already top tier. Like, national championship or nothing, right?
Yeah.
But then if you think about it, maybe you just have to make peace with the fact that that's not going to be your story anymore. And that's okay. Because North Carolina, I'm sitting up here from North Carolina, like, you know, if we go there, great. But if we don't, all right, that's what I expect. But for y'all, you're so used to it that if it doesn't happen, y'all, some people are literally going to have a hard work week just because of it. And that's tough.
It's been a tough, 7 years now, 8 years. I think I had Kenny Shaw on the show and Kenny was like, yeah, we got to celebrate the 10th anniversary coming up. And I was like, yo, has it really been that long since we've been good? Like, damn.
And, but that's the thing. It's like, good is national championship or bust. It's like, it's not even like, oh, we had a 10-win season. We won ACC. Like, no. F all that. Like, we're not in college football playoffs now that this new era is. If we're not talking about national championship, what are we doing? And that, yeah, I hate yeah. that for y'all.
And it's one of those, like, I think the most crystallizing moment was when we got beat the crap to by Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And they got like two media members, you know, that covers the team. And Dave Clawson talks for like 15 minutes and his press conference is over. You know what I'm saying? And FSU is like, we got 55 podcasts, 10 dedicated sports sites to the school, and people really care.
Okay.
And Wake Forest is like, okay, all right, right. That's enough of that. Okay. All right,
ain't no think pieces. We're not about to sit here and dissect every group. You know, they're not watching all 22. They're just like, yeah, you know, another day at the office. Yeah. Thanks for playing. We're good. We're going back to Winston-Salem. We're just going to have ourselves a day. Y'all over here, like, what is it? Like, fire him tomorrow. Like, that just doesn't happen for some of these ACC schools. So I feel like I definitely empathize because I don't understand, but I feel like it's a lot. It takes a lot.
So what school did you graduate from, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so I went to North Carolina, UNC Chapel Hill. So wow. I'm in Ontario, born, bred, dead, we say. So I swam there 2008, 2012. So I saw national championship basketball style my freshman year. Right. So like, I'm spoiled. So anything less than national championship on the basketball front,
it's a
disrespectful. I had to literally watch Carolina get whooped last night by the Duke Blue Devils.
Did they?
And, you know, we're all sitting here tech. I can't even tweet about it because, you know, how sometimes you watch games, you just sound off. I can't even tweet because, one, I don't need people in my mentions. I don't got time because I start getting ugly. And I'm just like, you know, let me just get out of there. But two, it's just, what do you say? How do you even talk about a program? Like, the kids got no heart. Point blank, period. Next, move on. Move on. Like, yeah. you got to play for something different, right? Like, if you don't feel called, if Michael Jordan shouldn't have to come to games in order for you to play big. That's yeah. just, he can't come to every single one. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. You've got to want, like, for that rivalry to go the way it did last night. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the kids yeah. just, the talent, I don't even, it's not the lack of talent and the lack of muscle milk. Like, y'all be in the gym. Yeah, I see y'all running. Like, I see, you know what I mean? Like, we understand our assignment sometimes, but there's just a lot going on. And then I'm all about giving grace to Black coaches. That's my thing. A lot of people disagree, especially even on my show. Guys are like, no, we got to like count it fair. I'm like, I'm trying to extend a little bit more grace.
Yeah, I do. I do the same thing. I go over the top. Yeah. I go over the top. People get upset about that, but I go over the top. I'd be like, because guess what? Y'all going to trash him anyway. So right? It doesn't matter what I say.
His leash is so much shorter off the string. Yeah. And then he has to perform elite levels just because of who he is and what he represents. So I'm going to send a little grace. I'm like, he's won 23 games and we're already up so upset. So I just, you know, it's not going to be good enough. And it's unfortunate because it's hard to come after a Hall of Fame coach. Let's be honest. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's not I didn't think it was set up good for old Herbert.
No.
I didn't think it was, Hubert. I didn't think it was going to, I didn't think that was going to work. I was like, kind of let the kind of guy just gave it to you like that.
Quiet as a skip. The right people yeah. love him, and that's why he's going to be there for a minute. The right okay, people who write the it. Right checks are going to be there. But
the good thing about it is nobody actually cares about basketball anymore. It's become this thing now where people like. Why?
Okay, come on.
It really has become this thing where nobody cares about college basketball anymore. I don't even know what time of the year we are. Are we even close to conference champ? I don't know.
And you know what's crazy? I don't know if it's like the COVID year really solidified. Like, we don't need basketball as much as we like crave, long for. Like, give me the Ivy. I need my football. I'm not going to be okay if we can't have thousands of people in the stands for football right. season. And I mean, you talk about Commissioner Phillips, guy who's literally like, we're a football conference. Like, sir, you must be new here. That's not really how it goes. Like, Clemson has done well for us. Thank you. You know, Forest had his good years a few years back, but like, this is very much a basketball conference. And I know you're trying to change things, but good luck, you know? So,
yeah. I don't, we're going to get into the long-term view of the ACC. Cause I got some thoughts about what's going on in the yeah. ACC and what's about to come down the pipe. But let's start with my first question. What is the perception of FSU and Mike Norvell and the job that Mike Norvell is doing? What would you consider the perception of that?
You know, I really think that Florida State right now, a lot of people are saying their time has passed in terms of just the energy of the program. They're trying to hang on to that tradition word and trying to hang on to the powers that be. Like, we've had so much great talent, or we currently have great talent. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily think Norvell is the coach that's going to bring the best out of said talent. right? Because you have the Miamis of the world. Everyone's talented, but it seems like the needle isn't moving. And I think that's for Florida State. I think when he came in and you saw some of the issues he had with players, that's the biggest thing. Like when you start to have a shaky locker room, people start to say, okay, well, are you that guy? Because, of course, you can shake hands, kiss babies, and do all of that with the people outside. But if you can't get the guys in there who are who put their foot on the line, hand on the line, all that good stuff, then what's the point? So I think, you know, year one and two, we've been just trying to, who is this guy kind of thing. Now that I'm seeing him settle in a bit, it's hard to really get behind someone that I feel like doesn't make the best in-game decisions when it comes down to crunch time. And losing games that you absolutely are not supposed to lose, like the Jacksonville State game, stuff like that, it's just inexcusable, right? Especially because you're supposed to be helping the torch of what is ACC football be carried high. People are supposed to have this high esteem about some of our programs, and it's not even close. And the fact that we're not even going to mention Florida State as being a viable option going into next season in terms of who's going to be leading the charge of being a top contender and possibly getting the college football playoffs is kind of sad. Again, because we talk about the fact that national championship is the standard or bust.
Right. Yeah. He so
are you a fan? Because I mean you did have Fire Norvell. So like I'm curious.
No, I was never a fan of Mike. So this is the thing about me, right? I don't think he's a bad coach.
Okay.
Per se. I don't think he's a bad coach. Mm. But I'm one of those people, I've watched college football long enough to know that there are certain fits that work in certain places. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. So when he first got hired, I was like, well, this guy's from Memphis. Mm-hmm. So let's see what type of staff he put together. Will he put a staff together that fits in the South? Does it work? And once he named his defensive coordinator, his offensive coordinator, and those guys, I was like, this is not going to work, right? Because the connection that staff had was mainly Texas, Arizona, you know, some of the West Coast vibes, some Louisiana vibes. And ideally, you're not going to recruit well in those areas unless you're winning at a high level, right? You're not going to go in Louisiana and get top players unless you're Alabama, Texas A&M. And I think the landscape changed so fast on him as far as with this NIL, the money and stuff.
Yeah.
He already didn't have the cachet to just walk into a living room and say, I'm Mike Norvell. Mm-hmm. You can trust me, come to Florida State. He didn't have that. And, you know, but a lot of that is not really his fault. That's administration-wise, right? Like, you don't go get a guy with no ties to the state. Then you don't allow him to put guys on his staff that with no ties to the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made a few mistakes as far as dealing with the players and stuff. And I think Norvell had recruited a certain type of kid at Memphis, right? A lot of JUCO kids, a lot of kids from other programs came. And those kids were looking for a second chance or their chance. Mm-hmm. Well, in here, these kids, Bama wants them. You know what I'm saying? Georgia wants them. Like, you need to convince them that you want, you know, that they can come there. And for him, I think it was different for him. I just don't think the idea of that I'm this little walk-on kid that fought to become a college football coach, like, dude, that doesn't really resonate with those guys. It's like,
at all.
You know, so it's just a bad fit. And I was hoping that he would eventually make staff changes, which has not happened.
I get it.
It's been frustrating. It's been a frustrating process, man. You know, and I like I told somebody, ideally, he can win 7 games, 8 games this year. We can get to next year because we don't need a coach to change anytime soon. But I just don't see how he's going to be able to stabilize this and get it to a place where we can talk about national championships. You know, right now our fan base gets very excited over any win. I mean, it's any recruiting, any walk-on player that commits to the school, fan base they're totally up on their side.
Florida State also put themselves in a bad position because financially it would be hard to get rid of him, right? And I think because of the last contract as well, like I get, we can always find money. That's just what we know.
You know, I think the money excuses is like a little.
You don't? You know, okay.
I don't think it's as legit as we think it is. But
really?
No, I think they overtalk the money situation because they don't want to do certain things. Mm-hmm. So even with Jimbo, they talked about how they didn't want to do this thing because money wise this and money wise that. But when it came time to pony up $21 million to fire a coach, I mean, they found all types of cash. It was like cash just flying from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think they got another $45 million to get some things done. You know?
I mean, I wish I could just talk right up here. $45 million, what you need? Okay. You need a couple, you need three, four? Okay. Got it. I'll chip in.
I think it's some money there. I think it's some money there. I think they're just trying to, you know, they, and I think during the Willie time, I want to say they was caught up in some real estate deals. That was kind of, they didn't want to liquidate some of those real estate deals, but you know, real estate is up right now.
Okay.
We can make some things shake.
Right. You can sell it. Selling. Yeah. I get you.
Make some things shake right now.
My final thought on Norvell, though, you are very right when it comes to recruiting, because Florida boys already know they're hot-ish, right? And we talk about NIL deals. They want to go in and feel like you're going to come in and make their already created brand, which a lot of these guys have, even bigger. And so I think that's one of the things Norvell is going to have to figure out very quickly is, how can I make these guys feel like they already know that their ish doesn't stink, but now I'm going to put you in the spotlight to where everyone's going to be behind you. You're not going to have to buy a beer in Tallahassee. Like, you're going to be able, you're going to be the star and the stud. So he's going to have to figure out how to do that moving forward.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't, you know, hopefully I just want to get through next year. Like, give me 7 to 8 wins next year. Let's stabilize this.
Is that the bar? 7 to 8 and you'll be fine.
I look at the talent. I just don't see. Cause I mean, you know,
I appreciate a realist.
I hate being this guy. Yeah. But I'm the only guy there is doing this. So, but the only reason I can do this is because I don't get paid from a website or anybody. Nobody's paying me. So I don't have to pretend like they're going to be good.
Not yet. Somebody's going to pay you because they want a real conversation about this.
But I always tell people, I like to get to the party early. I'm one of those guys, I like to arrive at things a little early, you know, so, you know, check out the furniture, you know, see the decor. That's how I get down.
Okay. I love that.
So one of the big things, I was looking at the schedule and I was looking at ACC even last year. I thought the quarterback play last year was up. Thought it was a really good quarterback play across the league. What's your thoughts on the QB, the ACC QB play?
Man,
coming into next year,
it's going to be just as good, right? Because I think you have a kid like Tyler Van Dyke from Miami who talked that talk and he backed it up. Like, I was like, okay, maybe you sit down somewhere, like little third, walk on third string, whatever. Now that boy knew how to ball. Now you got Mario Cristobal behind him, I think. And with Gattis, the offensive coordinator they just figured out, or they just signed, it's going to be very interesting to see. Miami's pulling all the stops, which you would hope a team like Miami does. So I think Tyler Van Dyke is definitely going to be special. It's going to be interesting to see how Tony Elliott and Brennan Armstrong connect, and with his return, if he's going to be able to help Virginia out in that new era and how that's going to flow. You know, the loss of Sam Howell is going to be interesting for the Coastal and shaking things up, the loss of Kenny Pickett. But you know, when you look at the Atlantic side of things, right, DJ,
didn't Slovis transfer to Pitt?
Yes, he sure did. But I think it's always, you know, it's always unique when you join a conference and you're trying to just like be the new kid and come in and change things and like dominate. So I don't necessarily feel like he's going to come in and take over, because I feel like you have guys on the Atlantic side like DJ. I always said last season, like, I'm ready for his breakout game, but maybe this is his breakout season. Maybe he's going to have that sophomore, like, hey, I'm here. I understand the stage now. Maybe I get it now. Like, you, first of all, you're too big not to be good. I'm sorry. You're too big. Your arm's too good. Like, you're too talented. I think it was a lot of head things personally, because I'm like, there's no way you were a five-star recruit and you came in looking like this. Like, I don't know what the deal was.
Something I think with DJ, just me looking from the outside. I think the last few Clemson quarterbacks were not Hollywood, right? Like, they were big time prospects, but it wasn't Hollywood. It wasn't like, I'm the guy. They was kind of like very laid back, very, they kind of taught the same gospel that Dabo kind of talks, the whole football over everything, football is life thing. And DJ is a little Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? He's a little Hollywood. And I think that rubbed a lot of his teammates wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to talk about him comparing to Trevor, because comparing a first overall pick is tough, because normally a first overall pick puts in a lot of work. And players watch that guy put in a lot of work. And I don't know if DJ was doing the exact same as Trevor. So then once things kind of was going sideways, he got, I think, too much of the blame, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. I do think he was part of the problem, but I think he got too much of the blame, honestly.
Yeah. I also think, like, you know, Trevor was blessed with a Travis Etienne and some really good receivers, and he, you know, had the opportunity to have some flashiness. Clemson, I mean, DJ had to do a little bit of work. Like, his receivers are going to have to do a little bit of work. Justin Ross wasn't the Justin Ross of old, but, like, it's okay. But I think Will Shipley is going to be a unique.
Oh, man, he's a beast. He's a beast.
He's going to be really good for him. But, again, DJ's got to get out of his own way, and whether it's ego or whatever have you, he's going to have a better year for the Clemson to be viable. But I also think about Boston College, Phil Jakovic coming back. If he's healthy for a year, he's going to be good, and Zay Flowers returning. And then you got Devin Leary, who from NC State. NC State's a team that, as he likes playing with that chip, NC State likes playing with that chip. So I think they're going to have a good conversation as well.
David Leary. So as we look at the ACC QB play, who do you think has the top QB coming to the league this year? It's tough, right?
I knew you were going to ask that. Honestly, man, I think it's like Phil Jurkovic and Tyler Van Dyke, certainly strong candidates. Devin Leary, strong candidate. You didn't even mention Sam Hartman. While I do think that, you know, Sam had a rough last season, it was better than what we're used to seeing. So I think maybe Sam is coming back in, Sam Hartman from Wake Forest, coming back in with maybe a chip in terms of not wanting his season to end kind of like it did during the ACC championship game. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wasn't. It wasn't great, all that to say. So I would say, man, best one, I would give Phil Jurkovic. Very close second, Brennan Armstrong, and then you have Tyler Van Dyke.
Wow. Okay. So where would you stack Jordan Travis? This is an FSU part. I have to talk about him. So.
We have to get him in.
I have to talk about him. Jordan, where would you put him? Top five, top Jordan, six, seven?
Jordan's got a lot of heart. I put him in probably.
Okay, that number says everything. We don't even say no more.
Number seven or number eight. Jordan's got a lot of heart. And I think Jordan, he just needs to relax. I think sometimes he tries to do too much, and it's to his own detriment, right? So, you know, I appreciate his run game. I saw him run all over UNC a couple times now. Been pissing me off. But I really appreciate his play.
Hey, one thing about Mike Norvell, he will outcoach Mac Brown.
Okay.
He would do that.
And that don't take much. I'm just, take much.
I'm going to tell you something. I was with that last year's game. I was like, you know what?
I might mess around. I like this man.
I said, I think Mac Brown might be the worst situational, like, get your team ready coach that Florida State has played in the last 5 or 6 years, dude. Those game plans are amazing. And he always blames the media, which I like that about him. Like, well, y'all don't want to keep telling us that we're good. Nobody was saying this stuff, but y'all.
Y'all voted us top 10. What's wrong with y'all? I tried to tell y'all. I sugar stump. Like, I tried to tell y'all.
He's hilarious.
But it's to me, it's like, y'all saw us, you know, be in the game against Texas A&M. I'm like, yeah, and they lost. I think that's the part that we're missing media. Like, they lost the game. Yes, they were competitive, but they ended up catching an L. So what are y'all talking about? But
yeah, everybody likes to hit on niceties. They don't want to hear any negative stuff, so that's what they
do. You lost to a two-loss Florida State team the year before. You lost a Florida State team struggling this year. I ain't trying to hear it, so don't get me started. But Jordan Travis has a lot of potential. I think Jordan Travis' ceiling is
Think he can be better. I think he can be better. I think the offensive line is going to be better this year. I think we're overblowing these wide receiver transfers a little bit. But I'm not hating, but I'm just saying I don't know if it's gonna be the jump that everybody think it's gonna be. I think Pokey Woods is gonna go out there and still be the best wide receiver we got. We could be looking like, well, that's weird. Pokey Woods is still the best wide receiver. That's weird.
Hey, with a name like that, how could you be anything less than
Hey, Pokey's been here for as long as Sam Hartman's been in the ACC. Pokey's been here for a while. So but you know, if Malik McClain steps up and solidifies himself as the number one over Pokey, and Pokey's number two, or any of these transfer become number two, like, I think the right kid, one of them become the number two or number three. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Travis can have a good season. But I do think the ACC QB play is up this year. I think they might have the best QB play in the country, to be honest with you, this year.
Absolutely agree. I think it's going to be very difficult, which I think it makes it fun, because we're used to seeing the Coastal kind of try and figure things out. We're used to the Atlantic have Clemson dominate. So this season, you're definitely going to see in the Atlantic, it's going to be up for grabs.
Yeah. So let's go to the team that I think should be the favorite going into the year next year is Wake Forest. I actually think Wake Forest.
Sam, how?
I just – I look at Wake Forest. So this was crazy. When they beat the crap out of us, right? We kept saying stuff like, you know, they had a bunch of super seniors. Mm-hmm. So once these super seniors are gone, they'll be back to trash. So I was watching a bowl game with the coach. I forgot what his name. Oh, Clawson.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something that like made me go look at his roster. He's like, yeah, this is just the beginning. We're going to lose six players. We've been playing, I think he said we played 24 or 25 first-year guys. I was like, that can't be true. So I went and looked at his roster, and I was like, holy crap. His whole roster is sophomores, freshmen. I think he had six seniors, but only two of those six seniors, the six-year seniors, was actually starting. Mm-hmm. The other ones were reserves. So I was like.
Yeah. And defensive, and that's more the defensive side. They were young as hell, and they were just, I mean, getting depleted in the secondary. So they're definitely going to be great with the return of Sam Hart. But, I mean, I want them to be good.
And they was they was two bad calls against Clemson because that referee had dropped that. I mean, good God, dude. They was literally tackling Wake Forest receivers. That was
okay.
They should have blew Clemson out in that game, to be honest with you. But the referees just would not allow Clemson to lose that game. But so I think they're the best team in the ACC going in next year.
Interesting. I think they're going to be good, and I hope they're good for the sake of everyone's going to be like, oh, well, last year was a fluke. You know, you won that many games when you weren't supposed to. Like, you played kind of soft in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. To me, the team that's going to be good, NC State. I think they're the team who's playing with the chip. They lost. They didn't get to play the Holiday Bowl, and so they want everyone to know how good they are. And of course, with the Atlantic, they got the monkey off their back by beating Clemson, so they know it's possible. And you get a lot of guys returning who were injured. You got the Isaiah Moore coming back. You've got Peyton Wilson coming back from injury. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they play hungry. They're, to me, it's them, but they can get in their own way very easily.
Yeah, Dave Doran's not a great coach either. He's kind of aggravating too.
Is he like Norvell adjacent?
Not a lot of great coaches in the conference.
Okay,
I think Dave Clawson is the best. I think Clawson is the best coach.
Halfley, I think Halfley's good out of Boston College.
I think Halfley's good. I mean, Dabo's clearly the best coach in the conference because he got two national championships. I won't take that away from him.
Is it because he has national championships or because he's actually really good at coaching?
Well, GM is GMing. So I always say that the college football
great
coach.
Great delegator. He's a great delegator.
Right. So I always say that the best college coach is the best GM.
Okay.
And because the head coach has to be a GM. He has to hire the assistants. He has to recruit the players, have to set the boards and everything. So it's like even with Kirby. Do I think Kirby's a better X's and O coach than Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban? Hell no. But he is a top two recruiter. You know what I'm saying? And that matters. Yeah. Right? That can make up for a lot of things that he, you know, playing walk-on quarterbacks when he got five-star quarterbacks, you know.
He makes you feel wanted. He makes you feel loved as a player. I feel like guys step up.
So it's one of those things where I just feel like Clawson, I like Halfley. I would like to see what Halfley can do with a fully healthy team. He has not had a fully healthy team in the last 2 years, but I do think he's actually really, really good. I could actually see him taking a big job really, really soon, give him another year or two.
And you know that's tough because I think a Boston College deserves to have a coach for at least 5 years. And I don't know that he'll be there that long.
You know, but they do a good job of evaluating coaches, in my opinion.
Oh,
finding guys that fit what they like to do and building off of that. And I mean they've done. I mean, Boston College is one of those programs that can be a top 25 program.
Oh yeah.
But let's get into how I feel about the ACC and what's going on in the ACC. Do you feel like the ACC is going to be a viable national championship type winning conference in the next, I don't know, 4 years, five years?
I think we definitely should have a come to Jesus about this because it's going to be tough. I think on paper right now, no. Now, has Commissioner Phillips pretty much said without saying, like, that's my goal, that's what I want, that's how I need this to really swing for us? Absolutely, which I think, you know, we look at the bank, you always want your football teams to be really good. You always want to have top 25 programs. And right now, I'm hoping that, you know, the Wake Forests of the world aren't the only one that are going to be a top 25 program, like that we are viably talking about being a college football playoff contender. Because Wake Forest fan base, not that deep. So the pockets roll good, but it's still, it ain't the same as a Florida State being a top 20.
in Miami.
Not even close. So you're going to need to have the ones who have some strong tradition behind them. You're going to need to figure out how to get Notre Dame in this damn conference to be a football powerhouse.
So it's weird because people keep telling me about the Notre Dame, like, how do you get them in the conference? I keep telling people, for Notre Dame, it's probably better for them to be in the Big Ten than to be in the ACC.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. How do you feel about the alliance thing, the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC? Do you think that's even going to be worth anything?
I think at the end of the day, when all this is said and done, we're going to see a major shakeup in the ACC. I think we're going towards three conferences. I think you're going to have a Pac-12.
Okay.
I think they're going to take in like Oklahoma State, you know, maybe a Baylor, depends. I think you're going to see the Big Ten absorb like Notre Dame, Florida State, Georgia Tech, maybe a Clemson, Miami.
Okay.
I think something like that's going to happen. And I think it's going to be three. I think ACC is going to be left out. I think Jim Phillips making the comments that he made about the playoffs and how he wouldn't vote for this and he won't do that and that. I think that was bad messaging on his part.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have a heavy stake. To swing, you know what I'm saying? And by you telling them what you want, dude, they'll just say, okay, well, you actually don't even have to be a part of it all.
Okay. I think about his thoughts on like NIL as well, and just the way I'm like, you're not getting on board. SEC is on board. Like they're leading the charge. You got to get, we need to have a different conversation. And I'm talking differently.
And I do think the whole idea of them saying, well, we're going to put the alliance together, I just think that was just a way for the Big Ten to fish out information, to see.
Kevin Warren's not stupid.
Yeah, to just feel out, okay, well, how are these other conferences acting? How are they feeling? Can we look at their books? I think it was all about them trying to figure out what's going to be viable in the next 10 years. Because I was telling somebody, if you just look at the college football rankings, then you go look at the recruiting rankings. It's like full of like Big Ten, SEC. It's like full of it. And I was like, dude, this money is starting to catch up now. So like, where does that leave everybody? Because you can't even go like a Florida State or a Miami. You technically can't get a coach out of the Big Ten that you really want because they can overpay for him. Yeah. Like you try to go get Juwan Snyder. Well, Juwan Snyder, he would be an asset in Florida, right? We would love to have that guy in Florida. But they can pay him $2.5 million to be a running backs coach. And it doesn't bother them because every school's getting $50 million apiece.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy because ACC is so hell-bent on being this like upstanding conference. And like, we're really great scholars and we're really good on the field. And that's fine. You know, if we're going to win the character award, the great merit award, great.
Well, you'll still lose the Army and Navy and the Yale academies, but
this is a horse's race. Like, we're not trying to be the laughing stock like the Big 12. Like, we don't want to be that. We want to be a actually competitive. I know we're trying to hang our hats on basketball, but like we said, you know, earlier, basketball ain't the way. We got to figure out how to stay in the race. We're very much already behind, but can we at least try and catch up a bit?
Yeah, it's I don't feel good about the prospects of it going. Yeah, I don't feel good about it. And I think they should have got rid of that ACC commissioner a long time ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, you wasn't messing with Swofford?
Nah, Swofford's an idiot. I mean, it took him 5 years to get the channel going. Then he couldn't get the channel on every network. So he lost out on probably tens or 15s of millions of dollars just by doing that foolishness. And they keep going on with this Tobacco Road thing, which I get it, North Carolina and Duke, and it's all cute. But these coaches, now they're retiring. So now you're not going to know the coach name at Duke. You're not going to know the coach name at North Carolina in a couple of years, and it's not going to matter.
Come on. I mean, Boeheim's eventually going to have to get out the paint. Like, all the coaches – I mean, Ham's the only one hanging on. Like,
and the coaches in college basketball are the stars.
Yeah.
They are the stars in college basketball. And because the players, they're gone after 1 year.
Absolutely. So you're preaching now. Come on.
So it's one of those things where I tell people, I'll be like, man, you know – I don't feel good about Florida State's prospects in the ACC, about them becoming a national power again. And I have kind of readjusted. I told him I'm going to wait till after the season. I'm going to wait for him to win 7 games and see can he get in the top 15 in recruiting.
So if he doesn't get a bowl game, are you going to be like, if we're going to fire the horns for being fired?
Oh, no. I've done that already. I've fired those off. You know, okay. I'm don't worry. After every loss, I will fire up a fire Mike Norvell Twitter space. But I was told by somebody within the program to just kind of chill out a little bit. If you know, they would appreciate that if I would just hang, just chill out a little bit. I did get word for the inside the building.
Oh, see, that's how you know you're doing something. That's how you know you're doing
I said it's not actually personal because I actually think he might be a good person, probably a great man. I imagine his kids love him, but you know.
At the end of the day, like, I hate when people be like, oh, well, this man has a family. That's great. There is, I mean, you sign up for a certain position, you know what comes with the territory, and it sucks. Do I think some people go far off base? Yes. Do I think it gets a little bit left sometimes? Do I think people go to dark places? I'm like, you guys got to touch grass. Like, y'all need to just breathe. Like, please, God. It's just sports, you know? But fan is short for fanatic for a reason. These people are very psychotic about their respective programs, and I think Florida State might be one of them. But I do think that, you know, the Florida States of the world, the Miamis of the world, maybe we just have to make peace with, like, a national championship era was cool when it was cool. It was hip, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's not our story anymore, and that's okay.
Yeah, okay. I think that's where it's leading at. I think as we're, as long as we're in this conference, I just can't see a path.
Are you ready? Are you ready to go to SEC?
I don't see. I think Florida State will go to the Big Ten before they go to the SEC. I just don't think the SEC. I talked to somebody that might know about some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there's no TV money that will be increased by the SEC grabbing Florida State or Miami. That's right. Fair. It wouldn't help them any, right? Because they already have Florida, Georgia, you know, Bama, and those TV networks all kind of, so they say the biggest money jump would probably be from the Big Ten having Georgia Tech, Florida State, and, you know, maybe a Clemson. Because then that will open up the Carolinas for the Big Ten. That will open up the state of Florida and the state of Georgia as far as TV money. Mm-hmm. So they were saying that the SEC, by them grabbing Oklahoma, Texas, that took care of the Midwest for them, right? And the Big Ten already has Nebraska. That takes care of that Midwest for them. So it's like the option would probably be the Big Ten and not the SEC.
I'm surprised y'all don't have Tallahassee Network already, to be honest.
You know what's crazy? Now, this is the part that really pisses me off was when they signed that grant of rights deal to stay in the ACC, they had to get rid of the Sunshine Network. Mm. So the Sunshine Network was actually paying Florida State, I think, almost $10 million just to have rights to all the games and everything. Mm-hmm. And because they signed that grant of rights deal with the ACC, all that stuff went over to ESPN. And Florida State no longer gets paid by the Sunshine Network. Mm. So, yeah, it would be nice. Florida State probably should have came up with like some type of digital ACC, Florida State Network. But, you know, that would mean you have to be forward thinking. And because we don't like to do forward thinking things.
Okay. I mean, half the battle, if we're trying to get the ACC, they got to get better network hosts. They need to be at better network shows. Like, I think they're struggling in that regard as well.
They want it to be. See, this is the problem with the ACC. Everything in the ACC wants to be old and white, and it's nothing young and hip about the ACC.
But you have young and hip program. Like the fact that you don't have something cool and flashy about like a Miami or a Florida State. Like y'all literally, they had turnover chain for years, and there was nothing capitalized from that. Like
right. Well, the ACC doesn't want to lean into that type of stuff, right? They don't want to lean into the programs of what a Florida State and the programs of what a Miami. They pride themselves on being this academic South.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And they want upstanding thing to be going on instead of just leaning into what's the moneymaker. You know what I'm saying? Florida State can suck, okay? They can suck forever. But FSU Twitter would still drive social media on game days and game weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
you should lean into the crazies.
Sam, I think if we just got you a job here, ACC Network, if you're listening, because we know there's some plants out here, clearly. You guys need to put Sam out here because I think he would bring a spice and flavor, a realness to what we've got going on here.
I mean, they got Packer and Durham talking to, I'm like, who wants to watch that? who wants to watch Packer and Durham?
Who wants to I'm
going to
be quiet.
I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up. I'm sorry about that. But God, man.
I'm
going
to be quiet because that really made me laugh.
It's like the Merle Griffin show. I get it. Murder, She Wrote. Cut it off.
Sam. Oh my God.
That's my last one. I'm not going to trash the ACC network while you're on here. I would do that on another show when you're not on here, okay?
Ooh, that's funny. That is funny. I'm not even laughing. People who are running this back, I ain't even laugh. That's not even funny.
But make sure, get your handle so people can follow you, because you give really great information. I actually do listen to the ACC Locked On
podcast that you
do. I do listen to that, and I'm actually subscribed to it also.
Wonderful, YouTube. Because I really feel like sometimes I speak it to the void. I'm like, nobody's listening, but just in case, I'm going to go ahead and say something nice. But no, please follow at Locked On ACC on Twitter. You can subscribe. We're on YouTube. We're also available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's me and guys have a rotating cast, 5 every single day for up to 30 minutes. So it's really quick and easy to get you in and out there. But I appreciate Sam, like I said, bringing really good stuff and good content and realness that a lot of people don't get, because everyone always wants to talk X's and O's, or they want to talk just like boring stuff. But I appreciate you giving some insight on some things around the program. So thank you.
Yes, and everybody, I appreciate you guys. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. We did an episode last week, me and Nikki, on the So What's Next pod. That's on the same YouTube channel. Make sure you go like that. We talked about, Bill Belichick being messy and setting up on. That's my dog. That's my dog. And
I bet you he's going to put Brian's last name. Whoever Brian is, he's going to find the last name now.
Belichick was being messy. It's no doubt in my mind. It's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. Sign BB. Who does that?
No, what grown man?
He was like, yeah, it was me. I dropped this dive. Hey, Flores would be a great coach at Boston College. That's something to watch. Flores sure at Boston College in 3 years, 2 years.
That would be excellent. That would. Okay, look at you, GM. Right. You better know it.
All right, man. Y'all be great. Thank you.
You just heard Listen Up Podcast. Yeah. Yeah.